Live from the mist-enshrouded mountaintop fortress that is X&Y Communications Headquarters, you're listening to the world-famous Mountaintop Podcast. And now, here's your host, Scott McKay.
Greetings, gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of the world-famous Mountaintop Podcast. My name is Scott McKay, at Scott McKay on Twitter, Real Scott McKay on Instagram, Scott McKay on YouTube. You can find us on the web at www.mountaintoppodcast.com. And as always, I invite you to join us on Facebook, on the Facebook group, which is Mountaintop Summit. Today, I have a very special show for you. I'm welcoming for the first time ever on this podcast a guy who's actually a longtime friend and acquaintance of mine. As a matter of fact, he's one of the guys who really helped me at the beginning of my career when I was on his Interviews with Dating Guru series way back in 2007. Man, it seems like just yesterday. One of the founding fathers of the modern men's dating advice movement, if you will. He was definitely one of the most famous and influential guys helping men get better with women, especially in the early and mid-aughts. And nowadays, he is doing exactly what the topic of this podcast is all about, which is using his passion and talent to empower others, which he's been doing for well over a decade now. Many of you guys know him as none other than David D'Angelo of Double Your Dating fame, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. But today we're going to call him by his real name, which is Evan Pagan. Evan, welcome, man.
Hey, Scott. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, man, it's good to talk to you again. A lot of water under the bridge since 06 for both of us, I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely.
I've actually interviewed you over the years for a couple of my programs, and it's good to have you actually here on the podcast to talk about a topic that I think more guys should really think about. Don't you think this idea of taking your passion and your talents and paying it forward, helping other guys, maybe some young guys coming up or some guys who are struggling in any way you can to leave the world a better place, right?
Yeah. And I think that we all, if we're going to keep growing, you know, if we're going to keep maturing as human beings and as men, we have to find our next thing, you know, and if we want to do a good job of finding our next thing, we have to take everything that we already know and put it into that next step.
Yeah. And I think a lot of guys, Evan, they really may be saying to themselves, you know, what are my passions? What are my talents? I mean, I'd love to help other guys, but, you know, I really, in a way, just don't feel qualified. What would be the first step for guys in really figuring out where their niche is, as it were?
Each of us is born with a unique personality type, you know, a unique psychological makeup. And then each of us has unique experiences as we're growing up, you know, parents, the culture we grow up with, friends, the skills that we learn. And when you combine all those things, they become what sometimes I call a unique type of genius, which basically means that you can see the world in a way that no one else can see it. And sometimes we have, you know, a little low confidence or low self-esteem, but each of us knows how to do something that's like uniquely our way of doing things. Probably already in your life, people come to you for something. I mean, my dad, I remember when I was growing up, he didn't really have social skills so much, but people would always bring over things that were broken. You know, they'd bring over their broken computer, or they would, you know, bring over something, some device or something, and he would fix those things. You know, my wife, she's a love coach. Before she was a love coach, all of her friends, they would always come to her for advice on their relationships. She has kind of a knack. She kind of sees in that dimension. And so if you just look at your life and you ask, what is it that I know how to do? Or even in situations at work or in situations with family or friends, you probably have noticed that you see how some area of life works and other people, they can't see it. Maybe you understand how to design things in a way that people don't understand, or maybe you understand fashion, or maybe you understand computers, or, you know, maybe you understand cars. There's something that you understand and it makes sense to your mind. It makes sense to your way of perceiving and thinking about and modeling the world. And if you can start homing in on that, if you can kind of triangulate that, then it helps you to see that you really do have something special about the way that you see things. And then, you know, you can kind of follow from there.
You know, you bring up an excellent point about kind of triangulating on what your gifts and your talents are that you might be able to share with the world. And I can give you kind of two perspectives on that that I think will help illuminate this for the guys who are listening. Mm-hmm. Back when I first started running X&Y Communications, I was thinking, you know what I have to do? I have to get some graphics done and I have to get a website done and I want to do YouTube videos and I want some whiz bang video intro that looks like ESPN's coming on, you know, SportsCenter. How in the world do I get any of that done? It seemed so far away from my personal talents. It seemed like something that if anybody in the world knows how to do that, my goodness, they must be charging like $10,000 a minute to do it because it's such a special, incredible skill. And I have to admit, you know, I'm going to be a little bit vulnerable here. For a while there, I kind of put it off, you know, not for months or years, but certainly I was like, you know what, I better go get some angel funding or something if I want to get this done. And then finally, I went onto one of the sites for freelancers and realized guys were doing full video intros for like $100. You know, my website guy could build my entire web universe that I could dream up for like $2,000.
Yeah.
And that's not a lot of money, by the way. And it occurred to me kind of in a lightning bolt moment, or as you would say, an aha moment. That was one of your phrases that I always liked back in the David D days, that, you know, there are guys out there who can do in their sleep that which I can't even begin to imagine having any skill at. And meanwhile, what I have skill at, the ability to interact with people, think quickly on my feet, I pretty much have always taken for granted, you know, this ability to be a talker, to have quote unquote kissed the Blarney Stone, as it were. And it wasn't even really till one day I was sitting in front of a guy I was coaching, and he was this Ivy League guy who was tall, handsome, and had a lot of the natural gifts. And he's like, well, of course you can get women, Scott. I mean, look how well you talk. Look at your personality. And you know about me. I'm not the guy who people are going to look at and go, well, he must be a natural at picking up women. He's got all the physical gifts, etc. And I just had to think, you know, this guy is perceiving that which he hasn't mastered yet to be that skill, which is going to get him where he wants to be. So this visibility that you're talking about so eloquently, Eben, about understanding what your skills are vis-a-vis the other people out there who may be clamoring to get that skill and don't even know where to find it. Man, that involves quite a bit of field sense in a way, doesn't it? How does a guy wrap his head around that?
Yeah, another way to get started is to just go start taking personality tests. You know, take a Myers-Briggs test and take an Enneagram test and take a Colby and a DISC and a StrengthsFinder and just go take some of these tests online. Or, you know, if you really want to go, find somebody who can administer the test who can then talk to you about it. You know, find somebody who's like maybe a coach in this area or something. And what happens is you get a reflection. You get back something that will say, you know, you're a Myers-Briggs, you know, intuitive feeler. So you're going to realize all of a sudden that that makes you special in that you're more idealistic. You're probably more sensitive to other people and more empathic, you know, and you're going to see this stuff and then you're going to get reflections of what makes you special. And by taking multiple personality type tests, because they each study different dimensions, right? They're looking at different things. You start to, it's almost like setting up a group of mirrors around yourself where they have different angles and you can kind of check yourself out from different angles psychologically and your personality. You know, again, it's another way to kind of turn back around and see yourself a little bit. And then when you start seeing that your personality is this unique combination of these things that then also had a unique combination of experiences and a unique combination of skills and a unique combination of, you know, values and passions and so forth, then you can get a sense of where you could take your interests and what you're passionate about and what you're trying to do, what you like to help others with, and then really do something with it. Another piece is, you know, Marshall McLuhan, he came up with this term, the global village, and that was way before the internet, but it's really a brilliant insight and a brilliant term. And the way I think of it now, what we each need to do is kind of build our own little global village, bring together all the people into our individual or personal tribe that we want to learn from, that we want to teach, that we want to network with, that we want to mastermind with, that we want to collaborate with, that we want to start businesses with. We need to bring those people together and use the technology tools that are available to link us up and to help us find intersections, to exchange value, to communicate, to collaborate, and so forth. But if you don't know yourself, like philosophy, right? You got to know thyself. If you don't know yourself, and you don't know yourself and how you perform, and you don't have some models for it, and a way of representing yourself in your own mind and then communicating about your strengths and your weaknesses, it's hard to get a foothold. It's hard to kind of get started there. But once you start doing this, you start picking up speed, you know, then you can add skills to that. You can learn about communication. You can learn about marketing, teaching, coaching. You can put some of these layers in and you can, you know, join the digital economy. You know, you can become a part of the new culture and society and economy that's emerging.
You know, Evan, it's a recurring theme around here. This idea of knowing who the hell you are as a man. We talk about it quite often here on this show. Mm-hmm. It is important for a man in the masculine sense, even so that he can be attractive to women, to know who he is, where his ambitions lie, what his purpose is, because then a woman can feel safe and comfortable aligning herself with that and being his partner. And what you're talking about from the more professional side of it is figuring out who the hell you are so that you can figure out what your gift to the rest of the world would be. And I think that sounds a lot like purpose. And along with that, you had mentioned the Myers-Briggs test and Enneagram and a couple of the other ways that guys can help sort out the nuts and bolts of what they're about and what they're gifted at. And I wanted to make sure these guys, if they were unfamiliar with those two tests in particular, you can take a Myers-Briggs personality inventory for free on the internet. And I think the Enneagram, last I checked, was $14, and you can take it online. It takes like 40 minutes. And what the Enneagram does is helps you figure out where your talents are and the kind of professions you would excel at. It's not a perfect science, of course, but it definitely is very insightful. You also brought up the fact that knowing thyself is a concept that certainly predates the modern internet. But what a great deal that we have the internet to go build an audience, to go find like-minded tribe members to share what we're good at and what we're passionate about. And that's definitely something for guys to think about, which brings us to your journey. Back in about 2000, 2001, you might want to help me clarify when it was you actually started. When you wrote Double Your Dating after having been talking with other guys about how to get better with women on forums and so forth, you kind of talked about how you fell into the Double Your Dating thing as if you had found lightning in a bottle. You didn't describe yourself as a guy who was natural with women, but rather a guy who happened upon these truths that once you put them into practice were amazing. And you had this way of connecting wonderfully with us normal guys as a fellow normal guy who was sort of a, well, for lack of a better way to put it, a beggar telling other beggars how to find bread, but you kind of positioned it as, well, it's not merely bread. I've captured lightning in a freaking bottle and I'm going to share it with you guys. And that innocence of that genius that you found came through because you weren't positioning yourself as a guru per se. Matter of fact, it's kind of ironic that you would have called your interview series that I took part in interviews with dating gurus because you never positioned yourself at that level. You kind of positioned yourself as, hey, look, here are the truths, and I'm simply sharing them with you. How did you go about realizing that that particular part of your life, this part of your life that you've always told other guys they need to quote unquote get handled, was where you were going to spend significant time and energy helping make the world a better place? Because I think that would be a wonderful story to hear.
Well, the strategy or the thing that I'm finding really works in my life is to find an area where I need to develop, find a place where I genuinely want to learn how to do the thing, whether it's succeed in business or whether it's become more productive or whether it's, you know, get a girlfriend or whatever the thing is, and to really take it seriously and to go and study, you know, read a bunch of books, make friends with people who are good at the thing, maybe start a group or a mastermind and earnestly get into it for a while and then figure it out for myself. You know, get to the point where I at least have competence. My path is not to go learn things and become the best in the world at them. I'm interested in learning things and just getting to competency so that I can do it and then moving on and going and learning something else. That's where it's at for me. And so, you know, I was 26 years old. It's funny. I just found one of my old journals from when I was 26 and I had grown up in Oregon. And I'd moved to California, moved down to San Diego early that year, maybe March, April of that year. And I was single and I finally had a pretty good job and I got myself a new car. It was a used BMW, but it was nice. And I got a little apartment on the beach and I finally was doing well. You know, I had grown up poor. I lived, you know, out in the middle of nowhere and had, you know, did manual labor jobs and made $10 an hour for years. And so I finally had a pretty good gig. I was 26 and still I couldn't get a date and I didn't even know where to start. And I felt like, okay, finally I'm there. You know, I've got a car and a cool place and all these things. And then that's when it really struck me like, okay, I'm going to have to figure this out. You know, and I went online and I read and I got books and went to seminars and, you know, started making friends. It was really when I started making friends with guys who were just, they just got it. They just had the intuition. I remember where I lived in my little apartment, my next door neighbor, Greg, he was a stockbroker and he was a young guy. And we made friends and he just somehow understood, you know, he had the intelligence, you know. And anyway, so I made friends with several different guys who were really very different. And I would go out to bars and nightclubs and I would stand there and bring my journal with me and I'd listen to them interacting with women. And I'd interrupt them while they were talking to a girl and say, like, he just made fun of you. Why are you laughing? You know, and I just wanted to learn, you know, I really wanted to learn. And it took me a while. But I finally started to see all the pieces and I realized, okay, these guys are, they're looking at reality from a whole different point of view than I am. What they're doing doesn't make sense, you know, in the matrix that I live in. It's some other laws of physics that they're coming from. And I would ask them about it and try to understand their model of the world. And when it started to make sense, you know, and I started to do some of these things, they started to work. And when they worked, I felt like I had discovered electricity or something like, or, you know, or fire. I can remember those moments, you know, some of those first dates that I got or where I learned to, you know, go over and talk to a woman and walk away with her phone number in a few minutes. And I was like, this is possible. there was no version of the multiverse that I thought was that could possibly exist where you could do that. And there I was doing it. And so, you know, then I got a wonderful girlfriend and I moved up to Los Angeles and I got another girlfriend and I was just operating on a whole other level. And, I had shown some other guys, some of my guy friends were asking me what I was doing. And anyway, so, you know, from there I said, okay, I got to write this down. And I literally locked myself in my bedroom and I wrote the whole book, Double Your Dating, in like 3 weeks. I just took out my journals and some notes and just kind of wrote it all down. And put it online. My good buddy, Dean Jackson, he showed me how he was doing eBooks online. I had to figure out how to make a website and had to figure out back then how to do all of it. It took months, you know, back then to like make a website and get hosting and figure out how to upload it and take payments and all that stuff. So yeah, it wasn't like some big, you know, architect master plan where I knew that this was going to work. You know, at first I would sell like one or two books here and there and so forth. But yeah, I just followed it. And I could see that it was valuable. And then I started writing these newsletters and guys really responded well to them, you know, and I got into that kind of that dialogue and that banter with the community, so to speak. Yeah. And it just kind of took off and I just kept following it and kept teaching.
Yeah. So much to talk about there. I mean, as you were talking, so many memories and good thoughts were flashing through my mind. I actually still have the email notification from my shopping cart company. From the very first time someone I've never heard of bought my book for $20, mm-hmm. You know, like Gary Vee likes to talk about, treasure all the small successes on the journey to that great success you'd like to have. And I've always celebrated that. And so it's so refreshing to hear you talk about how the snowball started rolling until it got to be something huge. And indeed, one of the reasons why I was laughing as you were telling your stories is my actual experience having read your book and putting it into motion in my own life is exactly as it was for you when you were looking at your friends and the guys you were going out on the town with and what they were doing and not being able to believe it would work. I remember I read Double Your Dating and I had butterflies in my stomach when I downloaded it because I had never downloaded anything off the internet that I'd actually paid for before. So I was like, okay, this is terra incognito for me. Let's see if this is any good. And there was such a purity and an authenticity to what you wrote. I mean, you were simply giving us what you knew. You know, it's like, okay, you're behind the veil now. Let's show you what I've learned. And I remember going out on a date with a very pretty woman and doing some of the things you suggested. I used up the whole booth, you know, I spread myself out, what the feminists would call man spreading. You know, that was something you said to do, which, you know, perhaps ironically in today's world actually is quite attractive to women. I remember your advice about blinking slowly and just slowing down, because I'm originally from the East Coast. And you don't know this, Evan, but when I was preparing for the interview I did with you for February 2007, interviews with dating gurus, I actually made it a point to slow down and kind of live out your advice when I was doing the interview with you on purpose, because I didn't want to go against that advice. And I never told you that. But I go back and I listen to that interview and I was like, man, I was talking slowly. But I was on the date with this woman, you know, back to reality. And I was blinking slowly and using my space, and I was listening to my voice resonate, you know, in my chest, like you talk about. And it happened. She just casually mentioned sex. I was like, you got to be kidding. David D said this would happen. Like, women will just casually start talking about sex. And if you act like a nervous chihuahua, you know, she'll, you know, think you're not much of a man. And if you just take it in stride and say something cocky, funny, she'll want you even more. And I did exactly what you said to do. I turned around the gender role. I said, I don't know you well enough for you to talk to me about sex yet. And she just lit up and she was all over me. And I remember coming home from that date and thinking, man, this David D guy knows what he's talking about. This is like the real deal. It was exactly the same emotional rush you talked about. It's like, man, this actually works. And I think the warmest memory I have there is realizing that this wasn't rocket science. This wasn't something that you had to go make happen. This is how women actually are, whether we like it or not. And these are just truths. You know, this whole idea of being cocky and funny may not work with everybody's personality for sure. And I've heard that from some guys, but boy, it woke up exactly what I needed it to wake up in my mind and in my spirit and in my persona as a man. I remember I made a New Year's resolution probably about 1994 to soften my demeanor, because I thought I was, well, too cocky and funny. Well, you can imagine how that went. So reading your book was almost like a jolt to recharge my batteries in that way. And, you know, these guys need to know it was probably the biggest influence on me doing what I do today, was getting better with women. Cause like you, I was suffering in that part of my life and I needed some help with it. And you were giving me the information I needed, and it resonated so much. And my life changed so significantly that, like you, I was like, hey, you know what? More guys need this. And when I found the love of my life, who I'm still with, and two beautiful children and 110 countries later, and BMX races and all sorts of legacy stuff later. I mean, this is one of the most important things that a guy can get handled in his life. And yet, Eben, there came a point where you felt like you had fulfilled that part of your life's mission. You had done pretty much everything you were going to do in terms of helping men get better with women. I mean, you know, especially pre-relationship, you came out with some wonderful relationship material after you met your lovely wife. But there was another mission you moved to, which is helping other people build online businesses of their own, and now helping people become that coach who has that passion and talent and empowers other guys. How did you know when it was time for the next challenge after Double Your Dating? What were the signs?
Well, just a quick comment, Scott. Sure. I don't really believe any of that stuff that I used to teach in Double Your Dating anymore. I take it back. I believe about 80% of it.
I mean, I understand that the pickup artist stuff that has a low view of women is for guys who have low self-esteem and telling them what their itching ears want to hear. But dude, Double Your Dating was what changed my life, man.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, and I'm not saying that I don't take any of it back though.
Yeah.
What I mean is that as you move through life, if you keep growing and evolving and you allow yourself to mature as a human being, right? You leave behind your identity, parts of your belief system, and you have to go on. And
all of it?
I believe a lot of it. Okay. Once I went through that phase of my life, once I learned all that stuff and learned how to do it, I met my wife. I met my wife 10 years ago. And here, I'll give you a little. I'll give you a sample of what's going on.
Okay.
So I meet my wife. Okay. And we met over 10 years ago now, and we started hanging out, And whenever I would say something that was sarcastic or cocky and funny, and I would say things that were pretty funny, I mean, if I do say so myself, she would just get this deadpan look on her face. She would just go blank. It wasn't interesting to her at all. And in fact, whenever, and she hadn't read Double Your Dating, she didn't know, you know, my courses or anything. But whenever I did pretty much anything that was, you know, from that part of my life, I could see this look. She would almost look at me like, you know, what's wrong with you? Why are you playing that thing? And as we got to know each other, you know, more, and I realized that she was a potential partner, because I, you know, back then I didn't think that I was going to get married. I didn't think I was going to have a family. Relationships never really worked out for me. You know, I would date someone for a year or two and then it would break down and then I'd move on. And I had just gotten to the point in my life where I said, okay, I guess I'm going to be single, you know, for my life. I'm going to have to accept that. And so that's where my head was at. And then I meet her, and the kind of David D, that way of being, it just didn't work for her. And yet she's the right person for me. I just knew it. So getting into a relationship with her, and by the way, she's a love coach, and she's the smartest relationship intuitive that I've met. And I interviewed everybody, as you know. You know, I mean, I as a dating guru, so I met all the dating and relationship experts, lots of relationship experts, very wise people. And so I had to like reformat my paradigm. I had to turn my existential Etch-a-Sketch upside down and shake it. And I've had to rebuild from there. So I do believe in all that material. If you're at the phase of your life where you need to go from, you know, being socially awkward, shy, not understanding social dynamics with women, that stuff's all awesome and it's all great. But what I am trying to say is there's another level beyond it. And I'm saying that because that's true of every kind of level of life. There's another level beyond every belief system and identity and paradigm. And every few years in my life, I learn something. And then once I get to the point, like I said, of competence, I then usually move on. And to my own detriment, in a lot of ways, you know, if I would have just stuck with some of the businesses that I've had and just, you know, stayed with them for another 5 or 10 years, I could have made a lot more money. I mean, there are just different situations where I've walked away from a really good thing, but I have to go on. I have to keep learning and developing. You know? And so, yeah. So what were you kind of were leading into some other things yes. here, but I just wanted to say that.
Well, I mean, I feel compelled almost to rescue my crowd from your own statements about your own work, because my God, it absolutely transformed my life. I mean, I guess I was just born to be cocky and funny.
Dude, it transformed my life too. It totally worked for me, and it's worked for, I mean, freaking millions of people, you know?
Yeah. But then the woman comes along who fries your circuits, right?
Yeah. I don't want people to get stuck. Because right. I watched what happened after all of that stuff. And I meet guys today. Fortunately, you know, normally, like if I go out and I speak somewhere, you know, men always walk up to me afterwards and show me pictures of their family and, you know, thank me for the whole thing. But some guys are still like, you know, wearing the same outfits they were wearing and still are bragging about meeting lots of girls. And I, you know, I kind of want to like almost like knock on their skull a little bit, like I'm knocking on a door and say, there's another thing. There's another place to go after this. So I don't want people to get too hung up on it, you know?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely fair. And I guess the way I'll spin it is back when you wrote Double Your Dating, there was no Neil Strauss. There was no The Game. Mystery Method was in its infancy. The whole pickup artist movement had not blown up to be something blatantly misogynist and bad for women to the degree it eventually did. So looking back on the state of men's dating advice and the quote unquote seduction community back in 2005-ish is cringeworthy today in the Me Too era, no doubt. And yet one of the things I want to make clear for these guys is you were very clear in all of your work that you were not the relationship guy. Back in 2003 or four.
Yeah, for sure.
You were very quick to say to guys, look, my job is to get you in front of women and have them be attracted to you. One of your iconic phrases that you coined was attraction is not a choice. And what you did was artfully capture how to help women be attracted to you at a purely emotional primal level. And what you taught did work. But yeah, okay. You met Annie and she fried your circuits. She wasn't buying the cocky, funny product, as it were. And that was somehow refreshing to you. And the next thing you know, it's like, wait, maybe this pickup artist stuff and the seduction community thing isn't the finish line. Maybe there's more to this. And indeed, you know, let's be real. After 15 years, most of those pickup artist guys have bitten the dust. I mean, they're all married and have kids. And all of them probably, if they would have had a crystal ball back then, they would have gone screaming and crying, going, no, not me. But yeah, you know, you meet the woman of your dreams and you want to build a legacy, and kids aren't a curse. You know, my wife and I world school our children, and, you know, we've had more adventures and greater happiness since we've met each other and popped out a couple kids than ever before in our lives. So there's something to this depth of finding the woman of your dreams. Of course, it has to be the right woman, and that's probably what changes everything, right?
Well, so let me, I'll also clarify this a little bit, because I'm not trying to, I don't know, talk shit about my stuff too much. But no, here, so this is something I learned from my wife, which is back then, I mean, and thank you for saying, I didn't say, you know, use this material to get into a relationship. I always knew that men, most of us, wanted to have a relationship. And so I always recommended, like, keep your eye open, because you never know when you're going to run into, you know, the one kind of thing. And I know we all want to, but I'm not great at relationship. So be careful, you know, don't take my stuff too seriously in that domain. I had, you know, that much self-awareness. But what I didn't know is that if you're basing things on just, I want to figure out how to get women to like me and feel attracted to me so that I can have attention and company and entertainment and sex and a girlfriend, if that's the wavelength that you're on, then you're missing this other thing, which I wasn't aware of then, called, with the right collaboration partner, you multiply your own potential. You get access to healing parts of your personality and your psyche that were not available. You get access to healing your wounds from your family, from your culture that weren't available. You just get access to a level of potential that isn't there. It goes from being like walking on two legs to all of a sudden you and your partner being two wings on a bird. And if you only have the walking on two legs paradigm and you don't know that it's possible to become two wings on a bird and then go fly, like move to a different mode, you can get caught doing the tricks that, you know, get you, you know, a date with a girl and get you laid and do these different things, but you're playing a small game. And so this is what I'm talking about here, is there's a much, much bigger game here. And what you want to be looking for is not just someone that's like physically attractive or sexually interesting, or that, you know, gets you all riled up emotionally or, you know, whatever. If you have another model and you have another set of expectations and you're looking for something else, which is a partner in life who you can put your superpowers together and you can have different types of vision or different types of sensory apparatus that you can then synchronize. Again, your potential as a person goes way, way, way up. And on the way there, if you don't have some of the double your dating stuff, for example, if you don't know some of that, if I hadn't gone through the David D phase in my life, I don't think that I would have been able to meet my wife and have that work out, because of just how much I had to develop. Even if she didn't like cocky and funny, there was a certain, I mean, there's a whole bunch of things. I mean, there's a certain confidence that I had about things. You know, I was doing a talk. I went to Burning Man. I did a talk there. So I had the confidence to do that little talk there on, you know, my craziest kind of ideas. When we did get together and we decided to have a relationship and we decided to stay together for the long run, and I kind of had to let go of being single, it was important that I had gone through the phase of my life where I had figured it out, so that I was, you know, I wasn't like wondering, you know, am I going to be okay if something, you know, if something ever happened to this relationship and then I acted insecure. Like, it's important to go through that development phase, but I'm just trying to say that there is a much, much bigger world out there when you understand how spectacular it can be when you have a true partner for your life. It's also the most challenging thing and the hardest thing that you'll probably ever go through. But, you know, I wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah, that's beautifully put. You know, what I've always said is pick up skills last 10 minutes. Relationship stuff is for a lifetime.
Yeah, exactly.
And indeed, Eben, I mean, anybody who's a mature man who's met a woman who's worth actually keeping around in his life is absolutely going to stand up and cheer over everything you just delineated. I mean, you know, it seems almost immature and childish in retrospect just to try to notch your bedpost. I mean, indeed, I get guys who come to me who are 23, 24 years old and are already coming to me to find out why it is that younger women go after older men. And if they can somehow bottle that up and do that as a 23-year-old guy, you know, they'll get to a much better place with higher quality women. And what I always tell them is, well, be careful, because that's also going to result in you meeting an amazing woman you may want to spend your entire life with. And they're like, oh yeah, you know, that sounds like pie in the sky, until you realize that is a more evolved view. And man, looking back, I have to chuckle a little bit, because my entire tenure since early 2006 as a dating coach, as a relationship coach, however you want to put it these days, I've had Emily in my life. I had the benefit of having met the woman of my dreams. And I remember all these pickup artist guys saying to me, oh, McKay, you've sawed your balls off at the altar, and just ridiculing me for being married, especially for being monogamous. And then they would go to mastermind meetings and meet Emily and I and go, wow, you know, that's actually kind of what I want. You know what I mean? And next thing you know, some of those guys were hiring me to help them get to that point in their life as their coach. So it does, it kind of comes full circle, and it's beautiful to watch. And nowadays, you and your lovely wife together are doing what we're talking about in this show, using your passion and talents to empower others. And like you just said, that's the evolution of where you are today. What's driving your passion about helping men learn how to do that, and specifically how to be coaches?
Yeah, as I mentioned, every few years, I learn something, I kind of get some competence, and then I realize I need to go learn something else. I've been teaching now for 20-ish years, and I'm really getting off on teaching different topics, because when you teach something, you learn it at a different level. With the Double Your Dating stuff, for example, I spent, 4 or 5 years or something, just kind of being single and seriously learning about, you know, all these things. Now, it's probably like 3 years. I'll bet it was like 27 or 28 to like 30, 31, something like that. And I had a girlfriend for about 2 years there. And I wrote Double Your Dating. I was trying to think, but I probably wrote Double Your Dating like 6 months after I met her, and then was with her for maybe like a year and a half after I wrote Double Your Dating. I'm making these numbers up, but it, you know, it was something like that. And then she and I broke up. And then when I was single again and I started dating, I was like, I mean, I felt like I had Jedi powers or something. I was like, holy cow, like stuff that was just totally blowing my mind. And it was because I had been teaching for that, you know, year and a half. Yeah. So as I built that company, the W Dating Company, I mean, it was just me and sitting in front of my computer, and I started building it as a business. And, you know, I started hiring virtual assistants and doing millions of dollars in sales. And it was a whole new reality for me as a person, you know, like levels of income. I had never been anywhere near any of that stuff. And then 6 or 7 years later, I started teaching business and entrepreneurship. And I did that for a few years. And then I started teaching people how to do online courses and write books. And I started teaching productivity. Each of the things that I learned, you know, I went back and I taught. And so a couple of years ago, we decided to start teaching coaching, because I realized that this skill, this set of skills that is now called coaching, which are really about helping other people to take action, helping other people to reach their goals, facilitating other people, supporting them as they go through changes and transitions in their lives, kind of being a guide, a supporter, a mentor. This kind of meaning of coach, that learning that skill set, that's really where it's at, you know, because as reality changes faster and faster, as we kind of accelerate, the whole world changes. Each of us is going through more changes in more parts of our life. If you notice now, there's always a transition happening somewhere, because, you know, now we're focused more on our health and fitness and what we're eating. And we're also focused on our relationships and, you know, working on our stuff with our family and our own issues, and we're learning and we're taking on new topics, and professionally we're taking on new challenges and we're starting businesses. And so everybody's kind of like trying to be this super person. And because of that, because we all have more areas we're working on developing and we have more interests, that means that somewhere there's going to be some major change happening. We're either going to be moving or taking a new job or getting into a relationship or out of a relationship or having a child. There's some major life transition that's happening. And at the same time, we have less social support, less social connections, because we're, you know, talking to our friends through Facebook rather than hanging out with them in person and being able to talk to them about what we're going through. So we have more change, but less support than we used to have. So we need the social support, we need the friendship, and we don't have it. And so that's where the coach comes in a sense, where they do all of the supportive things. And for coaches who really take it on and really go to learn this skill set, it allows you to kind of differentiate what it means to really be a professional guide and also be an entrepreneur, someone who can facilitate other people taking action. You actually learn this whole skill set that I think they're just cornerstone skills. You know, once you learn the skill set of being a coach and you plug it into everything else that you do, it actually goes back and it takes all the things you've learned, all the experience you had, all the skills that you have from the past, and it makes them all more valuable. But it also then sets you up for the future, because once you learn this set of skills, it also allows you to build on top of them, because now you can not only do the skill, but you can also coach other people, and you become a better collaborator, a better communicator, a better partner in relationship, a better parent, a better entrepreneur, you know, a better manager, a better leader. It's a key component of all this stuff. And so, yeah, my wife and I we've both been coaches for a long time, but we now are formally teaching it. And it's great when we do these classes, because we bring a, you know, big group of people together. We teach them all virtually and in person. And I have courses on this. And if you've been through, you know, Double Your Dating, or you've gone through that kind of stuff, you know, it's me, but now focused on this stuff, which is a more, you know, a higher development level, being a human being, that helps you, you know, work more on your professional life and start a business and get clients and make a difference and help the people that you love to achieve things. So it's my mind, but having learned this other stuff. And yeah, I'm very passionate about it.
Yeah. You know, in the 14 years almost that I've been a coach, it's been amazing to see the rapid growth of the coaching field in general as really a wonderful profession that more people are in tune with, and certainly more people are looking towards in their own professional life. And certainly you can make a wonderful living doing it. And above and beyond simply being a friend to the people you're coaching, you'll tell them things that their friends won't tell them. You know, you'll motivate them in ways that they need to be motivated to go reach out and experience the greatness that's there for them. I mean, certainly there's some teaching involved. Lots of guys ask me questions and want answers, but there's a big difference between simply sitting around in a seminar or reading something in a book versus going out and immersing yourself in life and having someone standing side by side with you to go help motivate you and empower you towards that success. And that, in a nutshell, along with some of the other social reasons you've mentioned, has got to be what's driving the tremendous meteoric growth of coaching. And indeed, Eben, you've come out with a brand new program called Virtual Coach, which is you and your team empowering these guys to be coaches in their own right, to build a career doing that, and to leave a legacy by leaving the world a better place and harnessing their own passions and their talents, and indeed empowering others, which brings us full circle. And I want to go ahead and give these guys a chance to learn more about Virtual Coach from you personally. And I've set up a special URL where they can do that. And that would be www.mountaintoppodcast.com/Eben, E-B-E-N, where you can learn more about Virtual Coach. So, Eben, when they go to that link, what can they expect to find? What will be waiting for them there?
So first, what you'll see is we've got a series of videos that we're doing and exercises where I introduce coaching, I explain what it is and why it's growing and how to do it, you know, how to get started, how to identify what your kind of unique genius is, how to start targeting your coaching niche. You learn about kind of the inner game stuff of coaching. You learn about some coaching techniques for getting clients. You just get a sense of what it is and how it works as a profession and a business and as a career. And then we're going to be opening up for registration, and we're going to be doing one class that I'm going to be teaching over the next 3 months. My wife will be with me, my partners, my team, a bunch of really great coaches. And so if this is something where, you know, you've been listening and you said, yeah, that sounds like something I'd be interested in learning about, then come and watch these videos and definitely join me for this class, because I'll teach you one of what I think one of the most important skills that you can learn in your life, but also one of the most important professional skills. You can use it to start a business. You can use it to build a career. And again, this one helps all the things you learn in the future. It multiplies the value of all the things that you learn into the future.
Yeah. And this is one of those moments in the history of this podcast where I can not only point you guys towards this link, but heartily recommend what's behind it. So definitely go to www.mountaintoppodcast.com/EBEN and take a look and get in on Virtual Coach, invest in yourself, and maybe change your career path in a way that's going to be a lot more fulfilling to you and definitely to the people you touch going forward. Thank you so much, Eben. I think a lot of these guys have seen a side of you that they've never seen before, and it's always fun to have that happen on this show. So thank you so much for joining us.
Scott, that was a fun trip down memory lane and
no doubt.
Philosophical debate and whatever. Like, that was fun. That was a good time.
Yeah, I'm not sure there was much debate. I'm with you on just about all of it, especially when you start talking about what happens after you meet the woman of your dreams. So yeah, man, 100%, just a blast to reconnect with you. And guys, if you haven't yet been to www.mountaintoppodcast.com, go there for show notes, for a transcript of this particular podcast and others, and also a link to Virtual Coach with Eben Pagan. And you can also get in on my newsletter, where I'll give you actionable advice every day on how to get better with women and be a better man. And of course, if you're thinking maybe you need a coach more than you would like to be a coach, both of them are wonderful choices to make in your life. If you'd like to hire me to be a part of your life and be there for you and help motivate you towards greatness, click the red button on the page at mountaintoppodcast.com and talk to me free for 25 minutes. And indeed, if you want to go ahead and become a coach yourself, Eben's program at www.mountaintoppodcast.com/EBEN is heartily recommended. So definitely get you some. And until I talk to you again real soon, this is Scott McKay from XY Communications in San Antonio, Texas. Be good out there.
The Mountaintop Podcast is produced by XY Communications. All rights reserved worldwide. Be sure to visit www.mountaintoppodcast.com for show notes. And while you're there, sign up for the free X and Y Communications newsletter for men. This is Ed Roy Odom speaking for the Mountaintop Podcast.